Whispers. I spent my childhood in a quaint Maryland town, nestled between the borders of Pennsylvania and Delaware. My family settled into the neighborhood in 1974 when I was merely an infant. The builders offered three distinct architectural styles for our home, one of which was quite unique. I always wished my parents had chosen that particular design, as it was a rare sight in our area. Nonetheless, I've become acquainted with various neighborhoods in the region, having worked as a cable installer and lived in multiple locations throughout my life. In the early 1960s, a tragic plane crash occurred just a 10-minute walk from my childhood home. Over 80 passengers perished in the accident involving Pan Am Flight 214, leading to an abundance of ghost stories and eerie encounters that were woven into the fabric of my upbringing. In 1991, my family moved to Virginia, severing most of my ties with the area apart from one childhood friend. Following my military service, I found work in Utah before eventually returning to my hometown with my wife and young son. The town had been a wonderful place to grow up in the 1980s, but it now faced numerous challenges. We rented an apartment a couple of miles from my old home. My wife often worked the midnight shift, so our 5-year-old son would sleep in our bed during her absence. One night, around 11 p.m., I had just tucked my son in and was about to turn on the television for some background noise when I heard a whisper, "Kenny." The name startled me, as only a handful of people from my past called me that. I lay frozen in fear, listening intently and trying not to breathe. My mind raced through the possibilities. My wife returning early, neighbors conversing outside, or perhaps I had left the TV on in another room. As I began to relax, the whisper returned, more forceful this time. "Kenny." The breath that accompanied the whisper seemed to part the hairs on the back of my neck. Both of my parents passed away in 1997, and I couldn't help but wonder if my mother had come to visit her grandchildren. Although the voice sounded feminine and raspy, I couldn't be certain. Overwhelmed with fear, I remained motionless for hours, eventually drifting off to sleep without ever revealing my experience to anyone. 2 weeks later, I found myself training a coworker who quickly became a good friend. Our backgrounds were strikingly similar, from our upbringing to our parents' stories. One night, he hesitantly shared a chilling experience eerily reminiscent of my own, wherein someone had whispered his name in the middle of the night. Neither of us had any idea whether the two incidents were related or what they meant, but the uncanny parallels between our experiences left us both deeply unnerved. Playing Jenga. At the age of 7 or 8, I had an experience that remains vivid in my memory. As background, my family is Catholic and quite religious. One late night, around midnight or 1 a.m., I was playing Jenga with my siblings and cousins. My mother was unaware that we were still awake, but when she discovered us, she urged us to go to sleep. To persuade us, she warned that the devil might appear if we continued playing. Of course, we didn't heed her advice. My mother has always been a firm believer in the existence of ghosts and has shared numerous stories of her own encounters with them. Despite her belief, she claims not to be afraid of these otherworldly beings. On that particular night, our game was interrupted by a strange sound that captured all of our attention. It was unmistakable, the noise of chains being dragged and a horse walking right outside our home. The sound continued for around 45 seconds, as if whatever was causing it wanted us to know it was there. It's important to note that our home was not located in an area where one would expect to hear horses. We were situated just 2 blocks away from a major freeway in Los Angeles. Everyone in the house heard the sound, which was confirmed when my mother emerged and reiterated her warning. Needless to say, none of us could sleep that night. I was fortunate enough to be young enough to sleep with my parents, but my sister was inconsolable in her fear. Poltergeist. My name is Diego, and my girlfriend and I have been experiencing some troubling incidents in our shared home. We live with our 4 cats, and over the past few months, items have been mysteriously disappearing. For instance, this morning, I searched for the money that I had left in my jacket, but it was nowhere to be found. This is the second time such an event has occurred, and we have yet to locate the missing money. Our cats have also been exhibiting peculiar behavior, meowing at walls and seemingly reacting to things that aren't there. They have been urinating in random places, even though we have tried to address the issue. At times, late at night, my cat will meow in the hallway, seemingly fixated on nothing. About a year ago, my girlfriend shared an eerie experience with me. She had received a Christmas card from her sister and attached it to her door. That night, the card inexplicably rotated 180 degrees and fell from the door. She later mentioned that her mother had passed away and speculated that her spirit may have been responsible for the occurrence, but it was hard to say for certain. Lately, I've been plagued by recurring nightmares that jolt me awake, leaving me staring into a corner of the room where nothing is visible. This morning, my girlfriend and I argued about these strange happenings as they have been driving us both to the brink of madness. She believes that a poltergeist may be tormenting us, but it is difficult to determine the truth without any proof. At this point, we are desperate for help in resolving these bewildering and frightening events. The Beast. I am now 23 years old, and the events I'm about to recount took place during my first summer after high school. My three friends and I, all fresh from our freshman year of college, decided to live together. One of my best friends, Oscar, had a long-term girlfriend whose father owned the property we lived on. This property was a decent-sized plot of land in southern Maine, complete with several old cabins, a large house tucked away in the woods, and a few other scattered buildings. It was once a campground before the current owner bought it to live and run his business there. The house we occupied was situated at the very front of the property, along the road, while the owner's house was at the rear, accessible only via a dirt road. A one-minute walk from our house was a small, furnished cabin across a clearing. My friends Earl, John, Chuck and I spent the summer enjoying the company of different girls and girlfriends, partying, and occasionally experimenting with substances like LSD and salvia, although I don't believe these influenced the events that unfolded. Over time, things became tense and started to go downhill. Earl developed crippling insomnia due to tooth pain he couldn't afford to fix, and strange occurrences began to happen. One night, as I was driving to the owner's house, a large, white, blurry figure darted in front of my car. I assumed it was an albino fox, but the mystery of the creature would continue to haunt us. A few weeks later, Earl, John, and another friend, Don, witnessed the same large white creature, this time resembling a cat the size of a large dog or mountain lion, sitting on a hill across the street. When they tried to capture it on video, the creature stood up on its hind legs and calmly walked into the woods, dragging its long, fleshy tail behind it. After that sighting, we experienced a series of unsettling events. Chuck had a night terror involving the same white creature, and we found an antique cheetah statue in the house that seemed to move on its own. Desperate for answers, I came across an old Maine urban legend about a creature called the Dingbull Cougar. This creature had a bulbous, fleshless tail and was known to sing with a human voice to lure unsuspecting victims out of their cabins at night. The similarities between the urban legend creature and our experiences were chilling. Despite our attempts to get rid of the cheetah statue, it kept reappearing in the house, and we continued to catch glimpses of white blurs and hear faint singing in the distance. Eventually, the summer ended, and we moved away from the property, but we still feel the presence of the mysterious creature whenever we visit. To this day, we don't know whether this creature was some kind of beast, a spirit, or a demon, but the strange events that took place during that unforgettable summer have left a lasting impression on us all. Big Dog. To begin, I must clarify that this story is not my own. Instead, it is a remarkable encounter experienced by some of my friends. Over the years, I've asked each of them to recount the events, which took place around 2000. About a year after this incident, I started dating one of these friends, which is when I first heard about their dog-wolf encounter. Throughout the years, I've asked each of them to share their memories, and they all recall the same chilling details. At the time, my ex-boyfriend Jay, his best friend Barry, and their girlfriends Sarah and Mary were all around 17 to 18 years old. In search of adventure and a place to smoke, the group decided to drive to Mount Pisgah, a beautiful wooded area outside of Eugene, Oregon. I don't know which trail they were on, but they parked in the lot and hiked to the river to smoke and swim, enjoying their typical teenage activities. Eventually, hunger drove them to head home as the sun began to set. As they walked along the main dirt path, which has since been paved, they reached a small footbridge near the parking lot. It was then that Barry noticed a massive dog sitting about 70 yards away in a vast field. The dog appeared shaggy and furry, not particularly frightening. However, as the group crossed the 10-foot-long bridge, one of the girls screamed. In just a few seconds, the dog had moved significantly closer, now standing on its hind legs. The group sprinted to the car, struggling to unlock it as the dog stood at the edge of the parking lot, appearing to move closer each time they looked up. All of them emphasized the eerie sight of a dog standing on its hind legs. Although it's unclear whether the dog ran for short distances before standing up again, it was clear that the creature was fast, quiet, and stealthy. Despite considering the possibility of it being a bear, my friends insisted it was definitely a dog standing on its hind legs. This occurred in Lane County, Oregon, in 2000, where there were few, if any, bears. The group managed to escape in their car, leaving the mysterious dog behind. I have never had any reason to doubt their stories. In fact, Sarah is often reluctant to discuss the incident, as it remains too creepy for her to recall. You guys, seriously, are the absolute best. Your support means the world to me. If any of you have ever had a spooky or chilling encounter, I want to hear about it. Drop those stories in the comments below. And hey, if you enjoyed this video, go on and stab that like button. It really helps out the channel. Oh, and speaking of creepy tales, I've got another spine tingler waiting for you. If you want some more chills, click right here on this video. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Until next time, don't be too scared to sleep.